Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be here on this first day of the week, the day of our Lord. We come to worship Him. We come to learn of Him. We are here. Yesterday was what? 4th of July. I mean, yesterday was a day to go out, enjoy the lake or the parks, have a cookout, grill some hot dogs. Yesterday was a day where we as Americans are very proud to say we are Americans. We, or our ancestors, they fought very hard, sacrificed a lot to gain the freedoms that we have, and people nowadays continue doing so. People in the armed forces, people that have been in the armed forces, all of them, all the sacrifices they've made, all for what? For our freedom. We've heard the saying that freedom isn't free. And it's true. Many people sacrificed a lot for us to be able to be here this Sunday morning to freely worship as we see fit. Now, quick show of hands if you like. How many veterans do we have here or people that are serving in the armed forces? Quite a few. To you veterans, I thank you personally for all the sacrifices you've made, for everything that you've done, and for those that have given their lives so that I may freely live mine. Now, for a person to do what they do, to freely go out and put their life in danger for the freedom of others, for the comfort of others, so that we may be here, so we may have the freedom to do what this country gives us, that shows great dedication, and a lot of times that shows great love. A love for one's country, a love for one's family, a love that a person shows to someone else other than themselves. Now, this morning, my lesson is on the love and grace of God. There's a lot of content in it, so I decided to break it into two parts. The love of God, and then the grace of God. This morning we're going to focus on the love of God. Now, like I mentioned before, those people that have sacrificed their lives for our country, they get given the ultimate sacrifice. There's nothing more that they can give other than their lives. And they do it why? A lot of people say because it's their duty. But I believe it goes further than that. It's the love they have. Maybe they're not doing it for the entire country. Maybe they're doing it for their family. But whatever the reason, there is a great love there that they've shown. And they're willing to give up the most precious thing they can, their life. Remember that. The 4th of July isn't just about being able to go and pop fireworks or enjoy the lake or have a cookout. It's also time to remember of everybody who has sacrificed so much for us to be able to do that. Now, as great as the sacrifice that those people have done, there is one who has made an even bigger sacrifice for us. Just like those veterans, those soldiers who have sacrificed their lives for our freedoms, we have our Lord who sacrificed His Son so that our souls may live. I want to read to you very quickly a short story. I've heard this before. And it just shows how great love is, how great a capacity people have to love. But then we're going to show how even the greatest love that a person can have pales in comparison to the love that God has for us. A 16-year-old boy asked his father, "Dad, what are you going to give me for my 18th birthday?" The father answers, "Son, that is still a long way." Now the boy is 17 years old and one day faints. His father takes him to a hospital and the doctor says, "Sir, your son has a bad heart." Being the guy on the stretcher, the boy says, "Did he tell you I'm going to die?" Quietly, the father starts crying. The boy finally recovers on his 18th birthday. So he comes home, and on his bed was a letter from his father, he had left them. And the letter said, "Son, if you're reading this letter, it's because everything went well. Remember one day you asked me, 'What was I going to give you for your 18th birthday?' And didn't know what to answer you? Well, today, the answer is, I gave you my heart. Happy birthday, son." I believe, as a parent, I'm not a parent myself. I have no children. But the way I've seen my parents love me, the way I've seen how other parents love their children, I'm sure there's no doubt in my mind that none of you would hesitate to do whatever needed to help your child. You would be willing to give everything if you needed to for your child to not have to suffer, for your child to have a better life than you did. I've seen my parents do it time and time again. I'm sure your parents did the same. I believe there is a great love between what is a parent and a child. As we saw here, a man willing to give his life, to sacrifice his own life so his child may live. Now, how many of us would be willing to sacrifice that same child that we're willing, or that you are willing to give your life for somebody else? I seriously doubt that anybody would sacrifice their own child so that somebody else may live. Very few people would do it for a good person, as the Bible says. But how many of you would do it for a person that you knew was a murderer, a liar, a cheater, the worst that society could offer? Knowing that that same person would probably take that sacrifice, trample all over it, and continue their life the way they did. How many of us would do that? I seriously doubt anybody would. There was one person who did that. Who was that? God gave his only son. Everybody turn to John 3:16. John chapter 3 verse 16. This is a very well-known verse. Everybody knows it, I'm pretty sure. A lot of people know it by memory. A lot of people that probably aren't even very religious, as you might say, can probably quote it to you. I want somebody to read it for me, please. John 3:16. Thank you. For God so loved the world. A lot of times when we hear this or read this, we have a tendency to just kind of gloss over it. We've heard it so much, we know it so much that we kind of sometimes forget what it actually means. We don't give it the time, the thought that it deserves to really think about what it's saying there. It's not a very long word, not a very long verse, but it has so much meaning to it. This passage has been called the golden text of the Bible. It is a verse that, as us as Christians, should really touch us in our heart. Every time you read this or hear this, try to see, try to understand, especially you parents. A person who gave his son, not his second son, not his third son, his only son for us. So that we may have an opportunity to one day be with our God. How many of you, real quick show of hands, how many of you have one child? None of you, well, you have one child. Okay, how many of you have only one child? Not many of you. Now, I've had friends who, they have one child. The reason is, a lot of times they just want one. But I have other friends who only have one child for several reasons. One, they're unable to have more children. They struggle to have children. And that one child that they have, it is the most precious thing that they have. They love that child unconditionally. They protect that child. They want to make sure that that child never wants for anything, because to them, that might be the only chance they ever have of having a child. Now, can you imagine, just imagine yourself as parents, if you only had one child, and you were asked to give your child so that someone else may live. Just let that sink in for a moment. Could you do it? Let's take it a little bit further. Your child has to be sacrificed, but it won't be a quick thing. It's going to be prolonged. That child is going to suffer more than anybody could imagine. He's going to be humiliated. And then in the end, he will die. Now, can you still sacrifice your child? As humans, in common sense, you're going to say, no, of course not. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because of that love that you have for your child. Now let's go back to this verse. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave us His only child to do everything I just mentioned. Came here. He suffered. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was tortured. He was nailed to a cross. And finally, He was killed. This verse says so much that we sometimes gloss over it. And it says so much about the love of God for us. We really do take for granted sometimes everything God gives us. Why? Because He loves us. And I believe, sadly, I've been in fault of this as well. Sometimes we take for granted the sacrifice He did for us. Sacrifice He made for us so we may one day have an opportunity to be with Him in heaven. We go through this life, living our lives, sometimes forgetting that we're here not because of our own strengths or our own achievements, but a lot of because other people have sacrificed so we may be where we are nowadays. Let's look at closely this morning at that verse. Let's break it down a little bit. First part we're going to talk about, for God so loved. Let's look at that right there. The love of God attested. Now remember, God is love. Is He not? Yes? Shake your head yes. Because God is love. Is there anybody that's going to love you more than God does? Honestly, no. If you think about it, if you really think about it, who is there for you when you need them the most? God is. Who is there whenever you're alone and afraid? God is. A lot of people say, well, my spouse is always there for me. Maybe. But you have to remember something. In this country, there is a lot of divorce. Your spouse may not always be there. Or your spouse may pass away, sadly. They're not always going to be there. Maybe you have family. Same thing. Family is not always there. Friends come and go. Your children will leave you one day. It's just part of nature. They grow up and they move away. But who is always there with you? From the day you are born to the day you are, to the day you die, if you want it, God. Why? Because He loves you. Simple as that. Just like a parent, any parent looks over their child, God does the same. I am 31 years old. My parents still, when I visit them, my mom, are you eating enough? Do you need food? My dad, you doing okay? You need some money? Why? Not because they believe that I can't take care of myself, because as a parent, it's just ingrained in them. That's just the way it is. They always want to make sure that I'm okay. Same for my brothers. They have their own children. God is the same. God is love. And His love is manifested on every hand. If you think about it, turn over to 1 John 4:8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Start at 7. 7 and 8. Somebody please read that. Thank you. Let's think about, real quickly, how God shows His love towards us. A lot of people say, well, He's given me, you know, everything I have, and He gives me life, and He takes care of me. And yes, that's true, but God does so much more than that, if you think about it. He showed His love, first of all, in His creation, when He made us. Everything He made here for us. When man was put on this earth, he was put where? Was he put out there in a desolate area to fend for himself? No. He was given the perfect place to live. I would say the perfect place, the Garden of Eden. I guess you'd call it paradise on earth. And we ruined that. But His love, He gave us that. Also, whenever we messed up, He gave us a guide to make sure we knew how to get to heaven. What do we call it? Mona, what is it? The Bible. I've heard the acronym. Have y'all ever heard the acronym of Bible, what it stands for? Everybody heard it? Anybody know it? Bible, Book of Instructions Before Leaving Earth. It shows us and it tells us what we need to do in order to get to heaven. So first of all, He gives us a place to live. We mess it up. He still loves us, so He gives us a book of instructions to make sure we get to heaven. So we have that here. It shows us up there. That's not enough. He helps us, or He sends His Son to establish the church. So we may have like-minded people to make sure that we're not alone. Because it's hard being a Christian nowadays. It's always been hard being a Christian. But we're not alone. So He sends us where He establishes the church. And if that's not enough, He promises heaven. One day being with Him. And all of this He does, why? Why does He do it? Does He have to do it? Does God owe us anything? Are we so great of beings that God says, I'm going to give you everything because you deserve it? No. Why does He do it? Because He loves us. Does a child deserve anything you give them when they're a child? Honestly, no. You do it because you love them. You provide for them, make sure that they have what they need. And a lot of times a child will not thank you. Because children are selfish. They don't know any better. Sometimes we're that way too. Do we really thank God for everything He gives us? For how He shows His love towards us? Something I always find very interesting. I love children. Hoping one day I'll have some of my own. But I find children very interesting because of their innocence and their purity. Yes, children can be the meanest people in the world. But at the same time, they can be the sweetest and kindest and most thankful children, or most thankful people. If you ever have the opportunity, I want you to one day listen to a child pray. I've had the chance of doing that before as I taught little kids. And when they get into prayer, they know that they're supposed to say, help mom, help dad. But when they get to a part of being thankful, they will thank God for everything. And I mean, everything. I've heard him thank God for the bugs, to the grass, to the dogs, to the rain, to every little thing. And if you don't stop them, they'll go forever. We could take their example and be thankful for the love that God shows us day after day. For God so loved, it shows that God is love. And everything He promised us. Now, everything He has given us, His love is manifested the most by what? But what did He do that truly showed His love for us? You can speak up. He gave His Son a sacrifice. Again, coming back to that. That's where His love is manifested the greatest. And the sacrifice He gave, or He made, for us, giving His only Son. Christ came down from heaven. Let's put this into perspective. From heaven, the place we all hopefully want to go to one day, He came down to this world full of pain and suffering and sadness. Yes, there are great things here on earth. But compared to heaven, really? Came down here, not just to live as one of us, but to set an example. To preach the word. And then to be beaten, tortured, sacrificed, killed for us. And God allowed all of this. Why? Because He knew that we needed it. He knew that without it, we were lost. He sacrificed the greatest thing He had for you, for me, for everyone. Make it personal. For God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loved you. I'm sure that when God sent His Son to die on the cross for us, He did it for me, Victor. He knew that I would need it. He did it for you, Rick. For you, Clyde. For every single one of us. A lot of people say, what is the reason that Christ didn't leave that cross? What held Him there? Was it the nails? Sure, I guess it'd be hard to pull your hands out of a piece of wood if you're nailed to it. But this is Christ we're talking about. What kept Christ on that cross? Love. Thank you. This is Christ, God in flesh. Did He have the power to get Himself off that cross if He wanted to? Of course He did. Could He have called, as we see in the song, could have called 10,000 angels? Could He have done that? Of course He could have. Wiped out everybody. He could have said, you know what? You people are ungrateful. You don't deserve this. I'm done with you. And just destroyed everything again. But He didn't. Why? Because He loved us. Christ loved us, God loved us, and they allowed this to happen for us. Let's keep going. For God so loved. The measurement of divine love. There we see in John 3:16, it suggests the degree, the limits, the measurements of divine love. Everybody turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 19. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. Somebody has that, please read it. Thank you. Now we see here the measurement of God's love. Start off with the first one, the breadth. What is breadth? Width. The breadth of the love of God can be seen that it reaches every man. There is no exception to God's love. God doesn't just love this person or that person. It doesn't matter your race, your color, your age, your gender. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're born here, if you're born somewhere else. The love of God is for everyone. Everyone on the world, everyone on this planet, God loves equally. Turn to Hebrews 2, 9. Hebrews 2, 9. Somebody else turn to Luke 4, 18 through 19. So Hebrews 2, 9, and then Luke 4, 18 through 19. Brother Rick, if you'll please read Hebrews 2. Thank you. And Luke 4, 18 through 19. Thank you. Now, in Hebrews 2:9, at the end there it says that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for who? Everyone. Over here, Luke 4:18, it says, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to the captives, cover your sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed. Now, is it making any exceptions here? Is he singling out certain people? No. Plain and simple, he came here and did what he did for everyone. His love, God's love is great enough, it's big enough to cover everyone. Sometimes we really don't give it thought or really appreciate. That's a better word. Sometimes we don't appreciate the love of God. We really don't. A lot of times we believe, we feel, when we come here to worship, it becomes a routine for us. I've fallen into that before, sadly. I'm pretty sure a lot of us have. And then it starts to become sort of like a burden, does it not? You wake up in the mornings, you think, you know, I could be sleeping in a little bit more. I could be doing other things. When we come here, our minds are somewhere else. Whenever we're singing, we're not paying attention really. We're not really giving it what we should be giving it. We're looking at the clock to see how long before it's over so we can leave and go eat or go back and take a nap or go do other things. Why is that? Why do we do that? Why do you think? Whenever you truly love someone, this is my belief. Whenever you truly love someone, you give that person all your attention as best as you can. Do you not? You try. I'll give you an example that all of us can relate to. I'm pretty sure almost everybody here. Think about back when you were dating. When you first started dating, and you got into that phase when you finally told each other, I love you, and you're all lovey-dovey, and you try to spend every minute with that person. You get a call, you make sure you answer that call. You get a text, you make sure you text right back. Whenever you're with that person, you make sure you give that person your entire attention so they can understand, they can see that, what? You love them, and that they mean something to you, and that you're willing to put everything else aside for them. Why not do the same for a person who gives us everything? Who will give you all the attention you need if you simply talk to them? When we come here, a lot of times we forget we don't come here just for us. We're not here really for us. We're here for who? For God. We come here to worship Him because He is worthy of our praises. He is worthy of everything that we are. Give Him that attention. He's earned it. Has He not? Show Him that respect. Just like those veterans that we talked about earlier, have they not earned our respect? Our gratitude? Our thanks? If you get a chance, thank a veteran. They've earned it. Same as God. He loves you so much. He gives you everything. Literally gives you everything. Be thankful. And show Him a little bit of love like He shows us. His love is so great that it covers everyone and everything. Let's look at the height of the love of God can be seen in the position in exaltation and supremacy to which it exalts us all. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Thank you. So how great is His love? So great that He's made us to sit in heavenly places with who? With Christ. Honestly, why do we come here? Why do we come here? What is the purpose of all of this? What do we expect to get out of it in the end? Let's put it that way. Every workman expects his wages, do they not? And it's only fair. You work for it, you've earned it. So why are you, as a Christian, why are you here? What do you expect to get out of it? Is that again? Our reward, which is what? Heaven. I mean, that's why we're here, are we not? That's why we come to church, try to be good Christians. Thank you. Desire and approval of God. Walk in a new life. All these things made possible Why? Because the love of God. I know sometimes we maybe hear a lot of lessons about God's love. God loves this, God loves that. And sometimes I feel that because we hear these lessons so much, we never really give a thought. We just know, oh yes, God is love. God loves me, and He's done this for me, and He's done that for me. But we really don't sit down and truly try to understand and comprehend what He did, why He did it, and what it is exactly He sacrificed. I want you to think of something right now. Think of the thing or person, could be usually a person, that you love the most. That your love, you have poured all your love into this thing or person. It could be your spouse, it could be your child, it could be whatever it is. And then what if one day somebody just took that from you? How would you feel? Devastated. Again, let's try to put it into perspective. Your child is sick. They're coughing, they're crying, they have a fever. How do you feel as a parent? Surely, everybody who's been a parent before has been through this. How do you feel as a parent to see your child suffering? Somebody? Helpless? What else? It hurts. You would do anything. You would give anything to make sure your child was better. Would you not? I've seen my dad get up at 2-3 in the morning because one of my siblings was sick and needed medicine and go. Raining, snowing, whatever it is, he went. Now imagine how God felt to see His only child, His only begotten Son, suffering. Not just a fever or a cold, but truly suffering. Sitting on that, or nailed on that cross. And what did God do? In that moment when Christ was hanging on that cross, in that moment when Christ, you could say, needed His Father, what did He do? Somebody? Christ cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" So what did God do? It says He turned His face away. He could not bear to see His child hanging there on that cross, suffering the way He was suffering. And all for what? For the love He had for you and for me. If you really think about it, it should tear you up inside a little. It should make you feel a little bit bad every time you sin. Because honestly, whenever you sin, what are you doing with the sacrifice that God did for you? The sacrifice that Christ made for us? What was that? Basically, you're doing that. You're telling God, your sacrifice means nothing to me. You might think that's a little extreme, but honestly, that's what it is. Every time we sin against God, and you might, like I say, you might think it might be an exaggeration, but honestly, if you think about it, it's not. You're basically telling God, I don't care. You might repent of it later, but at that moment, that's what you're telling God. The person that loved you so much to give you the most precious thing in the world. It's important to think about these things every once in a while. A lot of times, almost always, a verse is more than just a verse. A verse is more than just words that we memorize or things that we hear. There's meaning behind those verses. There's depth to them. we as Christians should take our time to really understand them. Especially this verse, which means so much and shows so much. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Let us meditate and contemplate on that. And that's the bell. Yes, brother.